Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Saw a troubling story this morning about the Portland Winterhawks. For people who don't know, the Portland Winterhawks organization was in some trouble and apparently defaulted. And the news that broke today on that front was that the Portland Winterhawks were, at least in the early part of the day, in some trouble. I want to kick this around with the Portland Pickles owner, Alan Miller. He joins us now. Alan, thanks for making time for us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So what's going on? You want to own a hockey team or what?
Well, we do want to own a hockey team. You know, we've been in, funny enough, we've been in active discussions to acquire a team outside of Portland for a little bit. And when we saw that what was going on with the Winterhawks, you know, we put that deal on hold. And we said we wanted to see if we could put something together and keep the Winterhawks in Portland and create something really special with this franchise. So we're excited about this.
Portland Winterhawks, for people who don't know, filed bankruptcy last week. Western Hockey League team. They canceled their playoffs because of coronavirus. And now that is seemingly devastating for the hockey team, but Alan Miller is with us of the Portland Pickles. Why a hockey team? Why would that work? Why have you been interested in this?
Well, I guess there's a couple things. I mean, we really enjoy sort of disruption. I think we really enjoy trying to take things that maybe have old models and make them, you know, really contemporary, try new things, continue to make fans as engaged as possible. And with that, you know, we've really been looking at hockey over the course of the last year. And the other great reason is it's off season from when the Pickles play and when we all play baseball. So for a natural season for us, it makes a lot of sense to be able to, you know, staff up, keep people what they're doing and what they're great at, and being able to kind of build an organization that contributes to Portland. So we really like the idea of having a hockey team. We're big hockey fans too. I mean, my partner John Ryan, who many of you have watched for years playing in the NFL and the CFL. You know, he's such a fan. He grew up in Saskatchewan. There were five teams from that league that was in his in Saskatchewan. There was one team in Regina, he even got cut from three of those teams. So he's been a big fan of the league and those teams, and really wanted to be a part of something like that as well.
The Winterhawks have had success, and as I read through the bankruptcy story, I mean, it's a complicated bankruptcy because it's happening across two countries, with Canada and the United States, and the parent company that owns the Winterhawks, there's about 15 entities involved there. But my understanding, Alan, is that the Winterhawks were successful. Like, they have money in the bank. This is not because, like, they didn't sell tickets or they couldn't pay their players. This is simply because some of the loans that their holding company, their owner, had taken out, he defaulted on some of those loans, so a receivership was created, and now it's Chapter 15 bankruptcy. How have you made contact? What's the first step for the Portland Pickles if you want to make this happen?
Yeah, well, we've been working with the Sports Advisory Group and Bill Yates over there, who's a great partner of ours. You know, we've had conversations with the bank. Basically, what this is it's a you know, it's a matter of sort of understanding where they are with everything, and we're sort of diligently going through all of that. So you're exactly right. There is a broker in Toronto who's running the file on behalf of a finance company. And really, I think for, you know, our process is to learn about that financial business and then really understand, is it sound? Is exactly what you said correct? Is it a profitable business? We want to make sure that the evaluation makes sense with the metrics that we use. And then we're working on lining up proper funding to be able to put together a bid for it.
The idea that you could bundle together Pickles and Winterhawks sponsorships, tickets, is that part of this? Is that attractive to you?
I think it's a really good opportunity. I mean, what's so interesting, and we've been to Winterhawks games, and we really love it, and we really see where it can go. This is a new world we're in. I mean, I think everyone is affected differently, but we're going to a very difficult situation for sports right now, and we have to be as, like I said before, disruptive, but also really nimble, and we have to really understand what our partners are going through from a sponsorship perspective, what people can pay for tickets. And I really see that the ability to bring these two things together to try to save overhead costs is a model that can absolutely help that for consumers, for fans of both teams, for sponsors, for everyone who's a part of it. Being able to kind of leverage those pieces together, I think, is something that would really help the community, help keep jobs here, and continue to kind of build what we've done. And what's really cool is we're both the same level. We both play with college kids who are just about to be drafted. The Pickles have had dozens of players in the last 5 years that have been drafted in the Major League Baseball, and the Winterhawks have similarly had a tremendous level of success with that. So we are in that ballpark already, and we know how that works, and we really enjoy that level.
We're talking to Alan Miller of the Portland Pickles, Woodbat Baseball Club, the Portland Pickles are. Where are you guys at as far as, you know, will you be able to play? How soon can you play? The raging discussion that we have, it seems like, on a daily basis on this show.
Yes, well, it does change quite a bit. We did make the announcement last week that our intention is to play, and without fans. We want to start this in early July. July 2nd and go through early August, creating a shorter season without fans and putting all of our effort into creating the greatest broadcast that Portland and the world have ever seen. And we love that challenge. So what we've been doing over the last month is building a really complicated and comprehensive strategy for safety. And those are things that we've shared with the Parks and Recreation, with the mayor's office and the governor's office to really push forward that and look at any options. And can we, you know, are there better ways that we can do this? How do we, is there a way to make people safer? And kind of going through every single process and really coming down with a plan that we think is great and that will keep our staff and our players safe during this time. Because everybody wants to play. And I think it's really, you know, it comes down to our civic duty. And I think what we believe is that sports are really important. And more than anything, you sometimes just got to try. And we're in it to try it. And if something goes down and it doesn't work, hey, you know what? We will all have the comfort that we tried our best to get it out there.
You know, Alan, as I look at this, you know, it seems like it makes sense. You also are dealing with, as I mentioned, Canada and the U.S. and it could become complicated. What's the timeline for figuring out if this is something you really want to do?
Are you referencing the Pickles or Winterhawks?
The Winterhawks. You got to do some exploration, but is this a 2-week thing? Is it a couple of months? Could it take a year? What are we talking about?
Well, I think sooner is always better. As soon as we can get access to going through all the numbers and putting our pieces together and making sure it all works, we would love to get something done as soon as possible to create some sort of normalcy and a plan to bring hockey back. And,
Alan,
we're all in this situation.
Alan, I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. I'm up against the hour, but I hope you get it done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate having it.
Alan Miller, the Portland Pickles. Winterhawks on the block. Are they moving? Or not. Leave it here.
BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Hope you had a good Mother's Day weekend. We've got a final hour of this show that will be all over the place. Start with the 2 at 2. It'll end with the joy that sharks and dolphins are currently having. And what exactly does the reopening of a Disneyland park look like when we're supposed to be distancing? We'll talk about that. Plus, Frank Costanza. All part of this hour. Let's start with the 2 at 2.
The 2 at 2.
Well, we've been hearing a lot of nonsense today about Major League Baseball, the owners, the players, how they're getting ready to go back. I think it's a lot of smoke and very little fire. Major League Baseball's owners have issued a proposal that is rife with problems for Major League Baseball players. I'm skeptical that they'll come to a deal. I get that they want to get back to work, but they are proposing essentially a new collective bargaining agreement and a modified baseball season. I'm not sure how they can pull it off. I'm not sure that it will work. And I am pretty sure that Major League Baseball players aren't going to go for this. July 4th is a start date. It might take that long to negotiate this. And I don't even know if we can play on July 4th. Major League Baseball trying to lead the way, but I'm skeptical. My second and my 2 at 2 relates to the Portland Winterhawks in this bankruptcy. It's called Chapter 15 bankruptcy. I didn't even know Chapter 15 existed. I'd heard of Chapter 11 and Chapter 7. I looked it up. It involves two different countries. And the problem with the Winterhawks was not that the Winterhawks didn't draw. Some of these minor league franchises are in trouble because they don't have affiliations with Major League Baseball or a professional hockey league. If you're an independent team, I could see you being in a much different boat than teams that have affiliations. But the Portland Winterhawks of the Western Hockey League, according to the filing, had about $150,000 in the bank. It's not a team. It's not a franchise that was broke. It's a franchise that happened to be owned by somebody who defaulted on a loan. So the Winterhawks, along with 14 other holdings, were thrown into this bankruptcy. I think it's admirable that the Pickles are coming forward and saying, hey, they're interested in exploring ownership. I'm not sure that the Winterhawks are going to ultimately change hands. Feels like this is a solvable situation, but I like that the Pickles are out there saying, hey, how about us? It's our 2 at 2. It's the two biggest things going on in your orbit of sports. Big story in entertainment. Jerry Stiller died at the age of 92. I was surprised by this because I didn't know that George Costanza's father was 92 years old, first of all. Frank Costanza was his character on the Seinfeld show. Jerry Stiller passed away. I also didn't know that that was Ben Stiller's dad. Did you know that, Judah? That Frank Costanza was Ben Stiller's father?
I did, but it was actually pretty recently. It was the last year or two that I put everything together. But, you know, Jerry Stiller, man, what, he's such a good actor. And King of Queens, his role in that, too, is just hilarious. So it's sad to see him go, but... but he holds a place in comedy's heart.
I think because of the success of Seinfeld show, I mean, so many things have come out of that. Larry David, that show comes out of it. We know the characters. Like, I never saw Elaine, even though she's done other shows, I never saw her quite the same. I always said that's Elaine. You know what I mean? Like, anytime you'd see, I'd see Kramer, I'd see Elaine, I'd see George, it was always their Seinfeld character that I saw. I saw them in character. Like, I know that Julia Louis-Dreyfus went on to do other things. I know that, you know, Larry David did Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is just sort of a spinoff, really, because he's just playing himself. But I always saw sort of whenever I saw Jason Alexander, I saw George. I didn't see anything else. Like, I can't, because that show was so powerful and it was so good.
Well, here's your chance to try the opposite. Instead of tuna salad and being intimidated by women, chicken salad and going right up to them.
Yeah, I should do the opposite. I should.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Yes, I will do the opposite. I used to sit here and do nothing and regret it for the rest of the day. So now I will do the opposite and I will do something.
George, going to do something. It hit me too in watching the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary. There was this, I think it was episode five or six, where Jerry Seinfeld is in Madison Square Garden and he's in the locker room of the Bulls and he's literally walks up to Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson and they know him, like, you know, and you see sort of the crossover between the power of that show and the power of celebrity and the power of sports. And it got me thinking about too, like, and maybe this is a question for Alabama Adriana, but if we could put, I'm not saying your favorite, and Judah, you could join this discussion as well, but I'm not saying your favorite people, because I don't want your favorite people in one room, but who are the biggest stars in entertainment, in music, and in sports that if we put them all in the same place in the same room, that it would be the equivalent of Jerry Seinfeld being in the Bulls locker room in the 1997-98 basketball season? Because I am searching for a sports star, like LeBron would maybe be it. I don't think Tiger now, but Tiger maybe in his prime would be that kind of star. But I don't know if sports has a star on the level that Michael Jordan commanded in like 97-98. And then you had Jerry Seinfeld, who was like, you know, king of the 90s sitcoms, who's in the locker room with him. Like, who are the equivalent if we're putting two people in the same room right now today?
I will say LeBron and Kim Kardashian.
Okay. Judah, you agree with that?
I do from a celebrity standpoint. But if you're going strictly like comedy and, you know, the NBA world, I don't know. I feel like Dave Chappelle with, even if it was like Tiger in his prime, Chappelle with Tiger, like, come on now. Those are iconic stars at the top of their game if you're talking about this like,
yeah,
10 years ago.
But 10 years ago, that's where it falls, because it's like, yeah. Chappelle and Tiger kind of had the same timeline, but now it's almost like, you know, that window has closed. I'm looking in sports and I'm going, okay, if we took like just the LeBron, and I don't think LeBron is on Jordan's level with being able to cross over and have, like, you know, maybe everybody knows the name recognition, but he's not on Jordan's level as far as the popularity that Michael Jordan had in the late 1990s. And I just don't think that's on the same level. And I'm looking at the NFL and I'm like, all right, Lamar Jackson's your reigning MVP. That's not Michael Jordan. He's not on that level right now. And you go to Major League Baseball. I don't know. Would you put out, you know, is it Chris Bryant? Is it Stanton?
No,
is it
Trout?
Mike Trout, you think?
Yeah,
but see, if Mike Trout walked down the street, I don't think Adriana, you know what Mike Trout looks like?
I think I would recognize him, probably.
He's beefy.
I bet against it. I bet if we put Mike Trout in a lineup with similar sort of guys with similar builds, I don't think most people could pick Mike Trout out. And I think that's more of a indictment of baseball and how baseball, I think, has just failed. Like, there was in episode 7 or whatever of this documentary, Jordan's in the locker room getting a bat autographed by Junior. If you've seen the documentary, I watched that clip this morning, and you could see that Michael Jordan and Ken Griffey Jr. being in the same space, it was like almost like this vortex of superstar athlete. I don't know if we have that right now. Like, all right, take your MVPs. All right, take your Lamar Jackson. You stick him in, what is it, James Harden or Kevin Durant? Like, what's the comparison? Mike Trout and who? James Harden?
Yeah, KD might be good too. The one thing that I'm encountering in this thought exercise is that all the NBA stars now are just polarizing. Like, you get a bunch of guys that people love, But those same guys people hate. A lot of people hate KD. A lot of people hate James Harden. You know, Steph, maybe. But even Steph's got some people that don't really like him. MJ? No one hated MJ. Everyone respected the heck out of MJ. That's why everyone wanted to be around him. There are people that hate LeBron. So there really truly isn't a true comparison athletically. You can't say Brady. People hate Brady. You know, there's nobody that athletically compares to Michael Jordan in today's game that
although
similarly
Tom Brady's,
has that respect.
Tom Brady's star status would be that, you know, in that stratosphere at least. Like, you know, if you talk about Brady walking into the room, I think, you know, my mom, who's like not a diehard NFL fan, would be like, oh, there's Tom Brady. Like she would recognize Tom Brady. I don't think she'd recognize Mike Trout. I think she'd be like, oh, he looks like he plays a sport, but she probably wouldn't know what sport he played. And I think that is a problem for baseball. I remember when Ken Griffey Jr. came on the scene, and you're talking about early 90s Jr., it was like everybody knew Ken Griffey Jr. was going to be a star, and Jr. was out there, and he had the smile, and he had the baseball cap on backwards. He was very relatable. He had that recognition. He was an endorsable athlete. But I think now you look in entertainment, and it's like, you know, Kim Kardashian, Justin Bieber, Beyonce, Katy Perry.
Not Katy Perry. I want to change my input to Beyonce and LeBron. That's mine.
What about Taylor Swift?
Yeah. No.
No?
Mm-mm.
She's like massively popular now.
But going down.
Who do you think is the most popular entertainer, most popular athlete?
Most popular entertainer and athlete?
Whatever.
Yeah, I think LeBron and Beyonce. That's it. Yeah.
That's who you'd pick?
Yeah.
How about somebody who's not American? How about Ronaldo? Somebody like that? Would that be a worldwide thing? How about Justin Bieber? Is Justin Bieber not bigger than Kim Kardashian?
Not right now. I think
more
he
Twitter
kind of
followers.
Fell off a little bit.
He's got more Twitter followers.
Yeah, but Twitter skews older. You got to be the IG hero in order to win this.
How about Ellen? She's pretty
she's
universal.
She's not really an entertainer, though. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, she is. Come on.
But, no, I really think just everybody knows who Beyonce is. Literally everybody. Worldwide.
I wonder if we've... Maybe the part of what's happened here is that because these stars are so... First of all, we're splintered across Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. You also have YouTube, you know, gamers that nobody would know that are wildly popular with 100 million followers. But I think there's been sort of a splintering of the celebrity world in that, you know, maybe there isn't just one. There isn't a Michael Jackson. Like, who's the Michael Jackson in music now? Like, you would say, oh, is it Bruno Mars? Is it, you know, is it Usher? Is it... You know, there'd be like five different answers.
The Weeknd sounds like him.
I don't even know how to spell The Weeknd.
I think you just take all the vowels out, right?
What is that about, too?
It's branding, man.
What's the what's a song that The Weeknd has?
Clean version.
No,
let's
come on, come on. What's their most popular song?
There, it's one guy.
Okay, what's The Weeknd's most popular song?
I think about
but The Weeknd is plural.
Feel It Coming with Daft Punk in it.
The Weeknd is plural.
Isn't The Weeknd plural? To me, The Weeknd's more than one day. I'm just saying. There it is. And I hate how this song starts because I'm always checking my earphones. Something wrong here? It's only coming in one ear. Oh, there it is.
Tell me what you really like. Baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight. Just take it step by step. I can see it in your eyes, 'cause they never tell me lies. I can feel that body shake.
Yeah, maybe. 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 This Weeknd character. The Weeknd's a him?
Yes.
Not a they.
Correct.
I guess this weekend is one thing. It's singular. It's not the weekends. It's a little confusing still. I can't be the only one that got tripped up on that. All right. I want you to tell me who you who's your vortex, your celebrity.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.